Well, that'll make you shout right there, wouldn't it? Just that thought. I want to talk to you this morning about caught between a rock and a hard place. Caught between a rock and a hard place. And I hope that it's like being married and having a mother-in-law. Caught between a rock and a hard place. I want to talk to you this morning about that. And I hope that you'll listen carefully and follow along. I believe there'll be something that'll help all of us today. Father, we need your help. And Holy Ghost of God, we come and beg this morning for your presence. And Holy Spirit, without your presence, there can be no drawing, there can be no conviction, there can be no confronting. And Holy Spirit of God, we need you today. So we ask you to come, talk to us now, please. May our lives be transformed because of the truth. And talk to us in Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. Look this way and listen carefully. The soldier in the Bible that is easily my favorite and my hero is the one in our text today. It's not David. I know David cracked the skull of Goliath and with a small pebble as he took his sling and flung the thing and hit him between the eyes, and I like that story. I know that that 300 Gideonites scattered 10,000 Amalekites with the crash of broken crockery, and I know that's a great story. I know that Shamgar killed 600 Philistines with an open with an ox prod, and that's good. I like that story. Also know that Samson retired 1,000 Philistines to the grave with the facial remains of a donkey, and I'm so proud of myself that I said donkey. But these are not my number one warriors in the Bible. My number one warrior in the Bible is a man named Jonathan. And my number one battle in the Bible is the one that's fought, is the one that's in this passage. Jonathan is in the valley, and only his armor bearer is with him. On top of the mountain is the Philistine army, and Jonathan is in the valley, and he only has his armor bearer, or bodyguard, if you please. And on top of the mountain, you find the Philistine army facing them. And get the picture now. On one side, on one side of Jonathan is a rock called Bozez in the Bible, which means height. On the other side of Jonathan is another rock of size of a Plymouth Rock or Gibraltar, that size rock, giant rocks. And so this rock is called S-E-N-E-H, which means thorns. So get the picture. These rocks were sharp and unscalable, and so the Philistine army is on top of the mountain. Looks like the battle is over. Looks like the Philistines are going to win. They're outnumbered. They're outmanned. And at the bottom is Jonathan with only his bodyguard, a giant rock on his left, giant rock on his right. And these rocks were giant rocks, like I said, like the Rock of Gibraltar. 6.5 miles north of Jerusalem. In fact, take a look at verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no strength." Would you say there's probably some doubt there? Would you say that? Talk to me. Would you say that? Yes, you would. Okay. He said, it may be that the Lord will work for us. I would suggest to you, Christian, don't worry about when you doubt. I would just say, go on, go forward anyway. So he said this, "For there's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." So in verse 7, "And his armor bearer said unto him, Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." Now the armor bearer didn't have to do this. "I am with thee according to thine heart." Boy, loyalty like that's almost unheard of in 2006. So here they are. They start toward the top of the mountain between a sharp rock on the left and a sharp rock on the right, between a rock and a hard place, if you please. They would strain. They would slip. They would bruise. They would bump. They would find themselves toiling and sweating and struggling and staggering as they climbed and traveled up this path between these two rocks, sharp rocks, to try to get to the top. And all of a sudden, if you can picture this now, the head of Jonathan pops up like out of the ground. Now here's all these Philistines. Here's Jonathan and his armor bearer saying, "Something's got to be done. We're fixing to lose. We're fixing to get whipped." And Jonathan says, "I'll tell you what, let's just go ahead. Let's just surprise them." So they crawled up between these two rocks, and if you can imagine this head popping up out of the ground, out of the mountain. So the bodyguard, Jonathan and him, popped up, it seemed to them anyway, to the Philistines, out of the ground, and they started fighting. Now the Bible says that 20 Philistines came after them. And the Bible says they killed all 20 Philistines. Two men killed 20 Philistines. And the Philistine army panicked. They can't see beyond the two men who came out of nowhere through the rocks. And boy, are they surprised. They just seem like they popped up out of the rocks. The Philistines said, "We are secure. We are on this mountain. There's no way that those Israelites can get to us. And boy, we get this thing planned right. We're going to go down and surround them, and we're going to kill them, and they're going to be destroyed." So they're up there almost elated and rejoicing about the fact that they've got the children of Israel trapped. There's nowhere for them to go. They're not fighters anyway. They're not soldiers anyway. We got this made. And then all of a sudden, pops up out of the ground the king's son, Jonathan, with the sword, and up pops up out of the ground his armor bearer with the sword, and they start coming after these Philistines. So these 20 Philistines said, well, just two of them. And so they went to fight them, and guess what happened? Jonathan killed one. Armor bearer killed one. Jonathan killed one. Armor bearer killed one. Jonathan killed one. Armor bearer killed one. And next thing you know, there were 20 dead Philistines lying there, and these people looked out and they thought to themselves, my goodness, there must be a whole regiment coming out of the hole in the ground behind these two soldiers killing all these Philistines. And the Philistines thought that thousands of Jews were coming up out of the rocks. So the Philistines panicked. And here's what they did. They fled, and the battle was won. Now pause while you holler amen. Now take a look at verse 4. And between the passage by which Jonathan sought to go up over the Philistine garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side, sharp rock on the other side. Now hold it. Some of you are here today, and you're between two sharp rocks. The enemy is about to pounce on you. They're on top of the mountain. And here you are. You're just about gone. You're between two sharp rocks. Between a rock and a hard place, we'd say. And some of you are trapped with one on one side and one on the other. And a sharp rock to your left and one to the right. And it's nowhere. If you can't go to the left, you can't go to the right, because the sharp rocks are there and you're facing them. You have two burdens maybe this morning. You have two troubles maybe this morning. You have two heartaches maybe this morning. You have two disasters maybe this morning. You have two heartbreaks maybe this morning. You lose your wife. That's a sharp rock, but she took the children. That's a second sharp rock. Your husband is seriously ill. That's a sharp rock, but sir, you face surgery yourself. That's a second sharp rock. Your son is ill. That's a sharp rock. And your daughter is being tested for cancer, and that's a second sharp rock. You lost your job, and that's a sharp rock. And your son is breaking your heart, and there's a second sharp rock. Your husband leaves you, and that's a sharp rock. But you have children to rear alone. Now you're facing a second sharp, hard rock. Your husband dies, and you have to go to work, and you find yourself there between two sharp rocks, having to rear the children and pay the bills. And some of you have an illness. That's a sharp rock on your left. And you have financial troubles, and that's a sharp rock on the right. And some of you have sickness on one side, no job on the other side, and you're between two sharp rocks, no place to go, and here you are, and nowhere to turn. You can't go back. You can't go to the right. You can't go to the left. There's just one place to go, and that is to go forward. And many of you don't have just one burden. You have two burdens. And I would suggest to you that on top of that mountain is that enemy. And that enemy does not want you to be on top side. That enemy does not want you to be on top of your life. He doesn't want it at all. He's there to beat you back down. But I'm here to tell you that there's a God in heaven that if you... Hey, boys. Hey, sit up. Wake that boy up. Hey, son, sit up. I'm preaching. Get your arms down. Listen to me now. Sit up, son. Get your head off the pew. Look at me. I'm preaching to you now. If you're real good, Brother Queen's going to take both of you to Dairy Queen or McDonald's after. Where's Brother Queen? So here Satan is on top of the mountain. The enemies are there. They want to stop you from getting up there. You're caught between two burdens, and someone has to stand up and say, I think I'm going to take that mountain. Somebody has got to open their mouth and say, I don't care how big the enemy is. I don't care how powerful the enemy is. I am going to take that mountain. And so Jonathan made that statement, we're going to that mountain. His armor, loyal armor bearer said, I'll go with you. Between two sharp rocks, no place to go. And many of you do not have just one burden, you have two burdens of equal pain. No place to go. On top of that mountain's the enemy trying to keep you from getting there. And it seems like he's in control of your life. Someone is told of having cancer and then told of the death of a loved one on the same day. A rock on one side, another rock on the other side. Here you are between two sharp rocks like Jonathan and his bodyguard. You have a wayward son and yet at the same time there's a serious health problem. A wayward son on a rock on one side. Your health problems, a rock on the other side. Maybe poverty on one side, sickness on the other. Maybe a lost fortune and bad health on the other. Maybe forsaken by your husband and bad health on the other. Maybe a drunken husband and illness on the other. I'm talking to people who are stuck between two sharp rocks, enemies on top of the mountain, trying to keep you from getting on top of your life. And life always starts, you know, it's interesting. Life always starts out without burdens. When you're young. No, start without burdens. You teenagers don't realize how you've got it made. Mama pays the bills, roof over your head. Are you listening to these? Clothes in your stomach. I mean to tell you, isn't that wonderful? I mean to have that. What did I say? Huh? I didn't think you were listening. You have food in your stomach and clothes on your back. You love it when I blow it, don't you, huh? And you understand, you just got it made. God has blessed you. But you don't pay the rent. You don't buy the food. You don't buy the clothes you put in your stomach. You don't do that. You don't do that at all. You've got it made. And life starts out with no burden. And then you know what happens? Then a series of the single burdens begin to come. And then as you get into life, this little burden will come and this one. Then guess what? You start getting older. And as you get older, then the burdens begin to multiply in life. And your husband divorces you and then some pharisaical female makes a snide comment to you. God pity the Pharisees who look down on people. Spurgeon had bad health, but that wasn't all. Do you know he had a wife who was an invalid? And do you know that he was voted out of his own London Baptist Association by some of his own preacher boys? Do you know that John Bunyan was in prison for 12 years, but he also had a blind daughter? Do you know he was between two sharp rocks? This building is filled with people with more than one burden. How about John Wesley? John Wesley on one side had terrible persecution, kicked out of his own denomination in dozens of churches. On the other side, he had a wife who was called the devil incarnate. John Wesley. Some of you men know what I'm talking about. The devil incarnate. And here's what he said. You know, he said, that's a good thing because she drives me to my knees. A sharp rock on one... Why are you laughing like that? A sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other. How about David Livingstone? Serious illness on one side, giving his life to get the gospel to the world, and then scandalized back home by articles written against him. Adoniram Judson, missionary to Burma. His wife buried in Burmese soil. And then his children buried in the same Burmese soil. Loss of a wife was tough enough. But then the loss of the children. A rock on one side and a rock on the other. Now here's Jonathan and his armor bearer with the sharp rocks on either side and the enemy at the top of the mountain. Now what did Jonathan do? He kept on climbing. He didn't go back. And the right way is to keep on going forward. That's the right way. Look, it doesn't do you any good. Pout! Doesn't do any good. Pout! Feel sorry for yourself. That doesn't help anything. You've got to keep on going. Now, they kept on climbing. Let me give you some things here. First of all, number one, they made up their minds. They made up their minds. When they came and they had this rock on one side and the rock on the other, they together made up their minds they were going to get on top. They made up their minds. Now, what you've got to do, my dear Christian friend, faced with two burdens, you first of all have got to make up your own mind. You have got to decide right now that God, it is not God's will that I be down here. It is God's will that I be on top of this. And I've got to make up my mind. I'm going to keep climbing. I'm going to keep struggling. I'm going to keep battling. I am not going to roll over and play dead. Now somebody say amen to me. I don't care what it is. I talked to my brother Paul yesterday, and I said, how'd the block go? He said, it's working a little bit, but he said, I'm in awful pain. And he said, the pain is just getting worse. Of course, the cancer is now in all throughout his bones and throughout his body. But he said to me, he said, I'll tell you one thing. I've got a wife that's not giving up. And he said, I'm not giving up. And somewhere in there, listen, I'm going to tell you, if somebody has cancer and is dying from cancer, can say, we're going to be on top side. Do you know that Mrs. Evans, 15 years in a row, they told her she was going to die? Dr. Wendell Evans' wife, 15 years, had cancer. 15 years, they told her she was going to die. Every year, Brother Howes would raise money and fly them to see their children down, who are missionaries down in South America, because it would be the last time they'd ever see them. The next year, she was supposed to die. He flew them down again. I'll never forget the 15th year. He got up and said, look, she's got to die this year. I can't afford for her to stay around any longer. And this is interesting, too. Think about this. Do you know that Mrs. Evans died after Brother Hiles died? And I wonder if there was not that Brother Hiles didn't keep her going. Do you know, for you Jonathans, you need an armor bearer. And you armor bearers need a Jonathan. And you need to understand, look, we need each other. We've got to have each other. We encourage each other. Look, I don't care what the devil does. I don't care how sharp it is over here or how sharp it is. I've got my mind made up. I'm going to get to the top of that mountain. And if you want to have the successful marriage, successful ministry, or business, you've got to make up your mind. You can't sit around and say, woe is me. Check out the people who move for money. Check out the famines in the Bible. And when the people move for money, nothing but heartache. Nothing but heartbreak. What would you think if I got up here and said, boy, I've been offered a big church. And boy, they're going to double my salary. And I just can't afford to turn that down. Now, what would you folks say? You'd say, well, wait a minute now. I thought he was called of God. Well, wait a minute. I say about you, layman, I thought you were called of God. I thought everybody here had a ministry. How dare you move for money? How dare you let... Look, Sears and Roebuck is not your God. Montgomery Ward is not your God. Ford definitely is not your God. Now, somewhere in here, you've got to understand, Satan is trying to... He's hovering over you, and he says, you can't get on top, but I'm telling you, he's a liar. I'm telling you, Satan is a liar. You've got to keep climbing. You've got to keep battling. You've got to keep fighting. Every day, get up and read your Bible. Every day, get a promise from God. Every day, walk with God. Let God know you're not tucking tail and running. If you'll do that, I promise you, you'll be like Jonathan. Your head's going to pop up, and all of a sudden, the devil and his crowd's going to say, where did he come from? Here's what they were saying. This ain't supposed to happen. This ain't supposed to happen. May I say to you, make up your minds. Number two, let the rocks force you forward. Let the rocks force you forward. Let the very burden on the left and the burden on the right cause you to read your Bible again. Let the burden on the left and burden on the right cause you to walk with God. Let that burden on the left and burden on the right cause you to pray. Let that burden on the left and burden on the right cause you to say, God, you've got to answer me. Let that burden on the left and that burden on the right cause you, let something burn on the inside of you that says, I'm not about to give up. I'm not. Let it burn on the inside. You see, most people, when problems come, they run. But Jonathan, David said, this is what Jonathan said. We can't stand down here and just let them come wipe us out. We can't do it. We can't do it. Turned to his armor bearer and said, you know what I got in my heart? I got a good mind to crawl up between those two rocks up there and go up at the top and take them on myself. Nobody else is. I got a good mind to do it. And the armor bearer said, you do it, and I'm with you. You do it, and I'm with you. You do it. Hey, son, sit up and listen to your bus captain. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. Take that bus route and say, I'm going to do it. Take that Sunday school class and say, I'm going to do it. Take the music ministry and say, I'm going to do it. Take whatever it is that God is going to say, I'm going to do it. I'm not. It's you people. Woe is me. Oh, I tell you, I just don't know. I won't make it. I don't know. I think God died last night. No, I talked to him this morning. He said everything's all right. In fact, he told me to tell some of you hello. Now, somewhere in here, you've got to make up your minds. You've got to let the rocks force you forward. Number three, go toward the enemy, not away from the enemy. Go toward the enemy, not away from the enemy. Do you know if you're having financial troubles, you go toward those financial troubles. Don't run from them. And next point, write this down. Take one enemy at a time. When they popped their head up, they didn't try to take care of the entire Philistine army. When their head popped up and those 20 came after them, Jonathan took care of one. Armor bearer took care of the second. Jonathan took care of the third. Armor bearer took care of the fourth. And between the two, Jonathan got 10 and the armor bearer got 10, and 20 of them were gone. Now, because they took it one at a time, because they did that, look what happened. The enemy got scared and they tucked tail and they ran. Don't you understand that God is saying you've got to make up your mind? You cannot stay down here and just die. You can't do that. You know, it's like I tell folks about soul winning. You know, that's Mark 16, that's a protection chapter. And I know why some of you women don't go soul winning. You know, so it's dark out there. I get out there, somebody's liable to snatch me. And I always say, yeah, they put you under a light, they'll send you home. Ooh, George, that's an ugly one. No, Mark 16, every time I preach in Kentucky, I see on the front page of the paper, a man dies from snake bite. Now, wait a minute now. Somebody didn't have the power. That's not so you can handle snakes or drink poison. But Mark 16 is a protection chapter for soul winners. Amen. Somebody help me now. It's for soul winners. I am not going to sit down at the bottom of this hill and let Satan run me over and keep me from getting on the top side. I've got my mind made up, and you ought to get your mind made up. Hey, you might even be able to shout amen to it. You might even say to your family, we're sticking, we're staying, we're going to fight this thing, we're going to go on the other side. I will not tuck tail and run. You've got to make up your minds. Then I'll say last of all, surprise the devil and you'll defeat the devil. Write that statement down. Surprise the devil and you'll defeat the devil. Surprise the devil and you'll defeat the devil. He is not expecting you. He's expecting you to run. Everybody else he's ever come up against has run. Everybody else he's shown his power to has run. But he is shocked when you don't run. He is shocked when you say, I'm not going anywhere. Surprise the devil and you'll defeat the devil. He has an MO on you. He knows exactly what you're going to do because all the other human beings have done it. He knows what you staff men are going to do because other staff men have done it. He knows what you choir members are going to do because other choir members have done it. He flexes his arm and you're gone. But do you know what he can't understand? He can't understand you coming along and saying, look, I'm God's child. That mountain belongs to me. That mountain's not yours. My Savior gave me that mountain. And I'm not. You know how much money it costs you to run? Have you ever stopped to think about the cash? If you don't do it for spiritual reasons, do it because of the cash. And U-Hauls are not cheap. And you got to put first month's rent down, second month's rent down. You got to put deposits down and everything else down. Folks, the best thing for you to do is to dig in here and say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Yes, I've got two birds, but I'm not going to tuck tail and run. I've got my mind made up. I'm going up through that hill, and I am going to surprise the devil. Imagine those guys all standing up there and say, boy, we got this in whip. Look, count them down there. Look at that. We got this made. There's only 600. We got this made. But up out of the ground pops his head. I said, what in the world? He stands up with a sword. All of a sudden, a second one pops up. 20 men said, we better take care of these guys. They go down there. All of a sudden, 20 of them are dead. Blood everywhere. Heads flowing everywhere. And all of a sudden, the men say, boy, well, what in the world? There's a whole legion coming up out of the ground. So they tuck tail and run. Don't you know God did that? Don't you know God put the fear of God in their heart? Listen, don't you tell me Satan's more powerful than my God. Don't you tell me. I'm telling you this morning, my God is more powerful than Satan. But you will surprise Satan. God must be with them. Satan's afraid of God. He's not afraid of you. Holy Ghost of God lives in your body. I would suggest to you that you keep on climbing. I'd suggest to you, you keep on, and when you do it, take it one enemy at a time. And you watch God surprise the devil, and you'll defeat the devil. Now, let me give you a word here you ought to write down. Optimism. If there is, you'll notice that the word heart is used here. He said, do according to thine heart. There was something, his heart was filled with optimism. His heart was not filled with pessimism. Now, the other fellow, the armor bearer said, be it according to thy heart. Now, the armor bearer was living off of the optimism of Jonathan. Now, thank God, Jonathan had optimism. There he was, and above that, look, it is not over till the fat lady sings, and even when the fat lady sings, it ain't over. Somebody ought to realize that you've got to have an optimistic outlook and heart. Are you God's child? Are you saved? Is God your father? When it's all over, who's going to win? Who's the winner? I read the end of the book, and I promise you God will win. I promise you we will be winners. Then why are you acting like losers now? You have to approach everything you're facing in life with an optimistic heart. You're God's child. I'm God's child. I promise you. Oh, it may look rough now, and you've got a sharp rock over here and sharp one over here. It may look bad now, but if you made up your mind before you started climbing up there and you went with an optimistic heart that my God is going to supply. My God is going to supply. My God is going to supply. There's no other way to explain this story except the supernatural work of God. There's no other way. God did this. But God cannot do it if you stay down at the bottom of the hill. You've got to be optimistic about it. I tell couples this. If you ever use the word divorce, you're in trouble. Ever. Now, you say, boy, I wish I was like you and Mrs. Gray and never fuss. What you talking about? You cannot be married to a woman. Well, you guys are not going to support me at all, are you? You can't be married to a woman without there being some disagreements. Now, you can't. Don't give me that stuff. Don't you look at me that way. Brother Queen will testify. You cannot be married to a man. Now, you women, that's your turn now. You can't be married to a man without there being disagreements. We cannot help it because we're always right. We can't help it. I can't explain it. I don't know why it's that way, but it just is, and then you got troubles right there. Because the women think they're right. Us men, we know we're right. You think you're right. We know we're right. But you're going to have troubles. But if you... One pastor said, Ms. Gray was sitting there, pastor said, I've never heard my kids fight in 20 years. The pastor's wife leaned over and said to my wife, that's because he's never home. Now, when you have these little tiffs, that's a good way to put it, isn't it? You have these little disagreements, that's natural. But when you bring up the word divorce, that's not natural. And that means something's wrong. And you better get it settled. If you ever entertain turning back, that's dangerous. Because you'll turn back. If you ever entertain quitting. Now, quit knocks at my door every Monday morning. But I don't entertain quit. A preacher doesn't ever think about quitting. He's lying to you. But a preacher that will entertain quitting will always quit. Quit always knocks at my door. But I never have breakfast with him. Never do. Never have lunch with him. Never have supper with him. Not going to. Did you hear what I said? Not going to. Quit's not an option. It's not an option. Do you hear what I said? Say that with me. Quit is not an option. Say it again. Quit is not an option. Say it again. Quit is not an option. It's not an option. It's not an option. If you will establish that in your heart and your mind, look, the victory will be yours. Don't you know that when Jonathan Armor-Bearer got about a third of the way up there, they began to say, ooh, this is hard. Now, you imagine the Armor-Bearer said, Jonathan, are you sure? You know, because he was depending on, he said, according to thine heart. About three quarters up, I bet he said, are you sure about this, Jonathan? John said, I'm sure about it. Jonathan popped his head up, stood up, scared the Philistines to death. I can almost hear the armor bearer saying, uh-oh. Are you sure, Jonathan? And Jonathan killed the first Philistine. And the armor bearer said, well, I better kill one or I'll be killed. So he killed one. Then Jonathan killed a second. Then the armor bearer said, where's that second one? Then Jonathan killed a third. And that armor bearer said, give me a fourth one. And then Jonathan killed the fifth. And that armor bearer said, where's that fifth one? Jonathan killed the sixth. All right, Jonathan, let's get him. Now, you know that's what happened. That's why every one of you that are optimistic in heart about what God wants you to do, you've got somebody beside you who's a little bit worried and a little bit of doubt, and you better step up to the plate and pull your sword out and decide to kill that stinking enemy of yours, and you better decide to do it now. Kill that rock music. Kill that movie going. You better stand up now and say, this is it. I'm going to kill this thing now, because you've got somebody beside you that's depending on you. Can't afford to turn back. Optimism about the things of God. How many of you are saved on your way to heaven? How many believe you're going to end up in heaven one of these days? You are? You trusted Christ, right? You're going to end up in heaven. All right, why not have heaven now? If he's king there, he could be king here. If he's Lord there, he can be Lord here. You could decide that I'm going to fight the battle wherever I am. And then I promise you, you'll be like Jonathan, David, and really surprise the devil and he'll flee. You defeat the devil by surprising the devil, because he's not expecting you to hang around. He's expecting you to run like everybody else has run. Don't do it. Mom and dad, keep on training your kids right. Wife, keep on loving your husband. Husband, keep on loving your wife. Love your church. Love your preacher. Love the staff. Love the schools. Love the college. Be optimistic about things. Where are you going to go where there's perfection? Hey, if you find a perfect church, don't join it, because you'll ruin it. There's no such thing. I'll never forget that woman coming in, dragging her little old wimpy husband in. His feet never did touch the floor. Brought him in, and Brother Landers threw him on the couch, and this woman looked at me and said, we're leaving. I'm sorry, she said, we're leaving. And I looked at him and said, what's the problem? He said, I don't know, you'll have to ask her. And I felt so sorry for the guy. And so she started telling me all this stuff. So they leave. Okay, fine. Bye-bye. And so they left. A year later, she called me and she said, now this is a church in Tyler, Texas that they joined. Listen to this now. She called me back and said, do you know that the youth director down here is a queer? And I said, yes, I did. She said, why didn't you tell me? I said, you didn't ask. Didn't ask. If you'd asked, I'd have told you she wouldn't listen anyway. You know, that grass may look green over there, but you may not want to, it may turn out to be artificial turf. You may not want to pay the water bill. Why don't you just decide like Jonathan and David and say, I'm not turning on my daddy. I'm not turning on my nation. Somebody got to do something. Hey, armor bearer, we're going up that hill. They made up their minds. And they went up. And guess what happened? They surprised the crowd. And when they surprised the crowd, they got the victory. Surprise the devil so you get the victory. You be the Jack Hiles. You be the Lee Robertson. You be the one that stands by the stuff. You be the one. You be the next Adoniram and Judges. You be the one that said, I'm not tucking tail and I'm not running. And you watch and see what God does. God will scare the fire out of them. And the victory will be yours. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Everyone standing, our heads are bowed.